The writer of Hebrews seems to insist that we understand that Jesus is a greater high priest. Here in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 7, he says he's a greater high priest because he has an oath. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I want to welcome all of you who are joining us on our podcast and following along. We're very grateful. And those of you that have found us here on YouTube, we're glad to have you. If you've not subscribed, would you do me a favor? Push that little button and subscribe, and let's get the word out. You'll also be notified every time one of these teachings come out. As you know, we're in Hebrews chapter 7. Today we're going to be in the last portion of that chapter and wrap it up, talking about why Jesus, once again, is declared as such a superior high priest. And why was this important to the writer of Hebrews, writing to these Christians with a Hebrew or Jewish background? It's because everything was centered upon the law of God. Naturally, God set it up. Now he's bringing in a new covenant with a new high priest, and so the case has to be made solidly. So let's jump right in here and let's begin reading at verse 20 and verse 21. Watch what he says. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Watch this. These words in the New King James Version may seem a little wordy, but let's break it down. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, he says, now they, talking about the Levitical priesthood, did not have an oath. It came by heredity. In other words, they inherited it through the family line, through the fact they were from the tribe of Levi, or the sons of Aaron as the high priest. It says, he was not made priest without an oath. Saying in a different way, he was made priest with an oath. Now, why is that more superior? Notice once again, he reaches over to the authority of David's writings in the Psalms and quotes that verse again, Psalm 110, verse 4, where he makes that statement, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, meaning God's not going to back off of this. This is God's word. This high priest has been declared by God himself. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So when he says they have not received an oath or sworn in as high priest as an oath, he's talking about those who were under Aaron. And it was not because of their personal character, not because a word from God or an oath from God. It was because they were born into that line. Now look at verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Because that God has sworn this to be, he has now become a better, it says, a surety of a better covenant. He himself is the guarantee. He himself is the surety of a better covenant. He's described as a guarantee of a better covenant with a better high priest. So the old covenant had a mediator. Who was that? It was Moses. Now, the writer of Hebrews is not putting Moses down at all, but there was not a guarantee by oath. This was through the old covenant. Therefore, under that old covenant, they continued to fail. Even the high priests themselves not only died, but they had to go offer sacrifices for themselves because they had sinned themselves before they offered sacrifices on behalf of the people. Here the writer is saying that Jesus himself, who is the high priest, is the guarantee of the covenant. This word covenant here is actually meaning to us the testament or the last will and testament. just as Jesus described when he said, "This cup is the blood of my New Testament, of my new covenant." He himself became the sacrifice. His blood became that which sealed the covenant. He says, "By so much more," or "this much more," the overwhelming superiority of Jesus Christ proves that he's able and worthy to guarantee us of this better covenant. Well, look, the high priest and the guarantee of the new covenant are the one and the same. That's why it says in verse 23 through 25 that this is an unchanging priesthood. We not only have a high priest by the oath of God declaring it, but Jesus himself, the Son of God, is the guarantee. And now, he says, it doesn't change. Oh, it gets better. Watch. Verse 23. "Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." I've alluded to this passage over and over in the last few teachings because it is the centerpiece of Christ as our priesthood. He is unchanging priesthood. He doesn't die. Watch what it says, that there are many priests. And the reason there were many priests, why? Because they kept dying out. Through death, they could not continue. So there was a limitation on not only the priest, but the high priest. There was no permanent high priest, no one to continue stand in our place. Now, this is powerful for us who have faith in Christ, because under the old covenant, the high priest himself was not even permanent. But here he says the high priest, he's not subject to death because he's alive forevermore. It was through his death and resurrection, through what he offered himself, that made him capable of being our high priest. Now, as our high priest, he ever lives. He continues forever as he ascended into heaven before the Father. He's able to save to the uttermost. Now, the New Living Translation would not use the word uttermost, but therefore he's able to save once and for all, forever. He's able to keep you. This word uttermost means he's saved to the best complete. I mean, he saved us completely and he's kept us completely. This passage here ought to give you assurance of your salvation. For the high priest who's gone before you and offered a sacrifice of himself for your sin, so that your sin's not imputed to you, but it was laid upon him. Wow, he provides this, so he's able to save you to the uttermost. See, not just out of the guttermost, but ultimately, completely, perfectly, continually save you. I hope you hear that. Those who come to God through him, he can save you forever. He can save you ultimately. This tells us that Jesus is able to save those to whom come to him through the fellowship of the Father. It also shows us we have our salvation in Christ before God, to God, through Jesus. This shows the abiding security of the believer. Why? Because he's able, he ever lives, making intercession. Now, I've alluded to this already, this word intercession. There is a word for prayer, going to the king on the behalf of another because one is unable or unwilling to go on their behalf. When we make intercession in prayer, that's what we're doing. We're going to the king on the behalf of another because someone is unwilling or unable to go for themselves. Or we're in that place of intercession, intercessory prayer. There's a place for that. Here in this context, here in Hebrews, that place of intercession is not necessarily talking about prayer. It's talking about he ever lives and he is in that place as our advocate. As John said, if we sin, we have attorney, we have a high priest, we have an advocate who is ever living. He's always there. He's not going away. That's the security that we have. So this is not just talking about him praying for us. As tremendous as that might be, that's really not what he's saying. Same thing over in Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So here, the Apostle Paul alluded to the same thing as the writer of Hebrews, that Jesus ever lives. He sits at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. It means he continuously represents us before the Father. And this is no picture of any angry father. The heart of the Father and Jesus are the one and the same. If you've known Jesus, you know the Father. So don't get this idea that somehow God is angry and Jesus is appeasing him. No. The love of the Father and the justice of the Father. If God just forgave willy-nilly, I'm just going to forgive, he would not be just. Therefore, he would not be holy. There had to be a price paid to himself for his holiness and for his justice to be able to restore that relationship we have. And that's what the high priest does, sitting there, not only going on your behalf, but he himself is the sacrifice and the high priest. And he never dies. He ever lives. He ever lives to make intercession for us. That's why this high priest is better, because he doesn't die. He's declared by an oath an ever-living one. Well, let's keep reading here, because Jesus is better qualified than those who were of the order of the law of Moses. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. But the word of oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever. Now, you can't get any more solid than that. For such a high priest, it was fitting for us. Why is it fitting for us? Because that's the only way you can truly be saved. The law provided Levitical high priest, but there's no salvation in that. As we mentioned in our earlier teachings, the law was an expert at pointing out the sin problem, but the law was never intended to solve the sin problem. So the law is still needed to point out our condition, but we need a savior, we need a high priest, we need a sacrifice. So that's what Christ has done. The priest under the law of Moses did not have the personal character of what we would say the Son of God. So when we say Jesus is holy and harmless, he's without guile or deception. And he is undefiled. He is separate from sinners in the sense that he's not shared with sin. He's not shared with them in their sin. He became sin for us, but he never sinned. So therefore, he is harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners. The holiness of God means he's other than us. So that's why we mean he's separate from sinners. He's holy. He is far superior. His character and quality of who he is far beyond any earthly high priest. So therefore, we as believers should glory in the fact that Jesus is exalted and is superior than anything that we could ever imagine. Why? Because he has become higher than the heavens. What does that mean? That means the character, the quality of his holiness, of who he is above the heavens, his exaltation into heaven. Therefore, he did not need to offer sacrifice for himself. That means he was a better high priest. He went in to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It says, when he offered up himself. See, this is totally unique from the Levitical high priest. They had to go offer a sacrifice for their sin and then for the people. No. Jesus went in and offered himself. Can you imagine what's going on in the minds of these Hebrews? Wow. No wonder the writer of Hebrews keeps offering this high priest. I know we Gentiles go, okay, I get it. What's the big deal? You keep talking about this high priest being better. Well, you've got to understand to the Hebrew, it was important. The high priest was everything. That's how they went to God. Jesus, he says, now is offering up as a willing offering himself for our sins. He says, for the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses. That means sinful flesh, means they have their own need and have to be offering up their own sacrifices. But Jesus is a son who is perfected forever, complete forever. Because he is the perfect high priest, he's able to offer up himself completely and forever. So why is the high priest a better high priest? Because of oath, because he's been declared to be so. And God will not relent, for he make him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, because he is perfect and holy in all of his ways. You can have assurance that he's able to save you to the uttermost, or completely save you, to keep you, secure you, because salvation belongs to the Lord, the scripture says, and he's the author of our salvation, he's the captain of our salvation, and he's the provider for our salvation. I love it. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.